Good morning. We're glad to see you. Glad you've come out to be with us today. We look forward every Sunday, every Lord's Day, to spending time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. As Christians, we live in the world, but the Word of God says we're not to be of the world. We're going to associate, we're going to be around people on a day-to-day basis who are not Christians. All of us have family members, I'm sure, who are not Christians. We may have friends, co-workers, fellow students, whom we spend time with, who we are around on a daily basis sometimes, who are not Christians. The Bible warns us over and over again to be very careful about the company we choose to keep. We're continuing our short series on what the Psalms tell us we need to do in order to be blessed in life. The word blessed simply means happy. God wants us to be happy. Primarily, He wants us to be holy. But happiness can be derived from being holy. And so part two of this series this morning is going to be taken from two passages in the Psalms, and then we're also going to look at several other passages in the Bible that emphasize this point for us. God wants us to know that we need to be careful about the company that we keep. And if we are careful, and if we associate with the right types of people, it will bring happiness into our lives. First of all, what I want to do is I want to read just a list of scriptures. And I'm not doing this just to fill time or to make the sermon last longer. All of these passages are emphasizing the point that I want to make, that God wants to make to us. So point number one, we're just going to read through all of these passages. And as we're reading through these passages, I want you to take note in your mind of the types of people that God warns us about. And number two, how He tells us we are to interact or not to interact with these individuals. Now, the first two come from the Psalms. This is a series over what the Psalms tell us, and there are two passages in Psalms that warn us and tell us that blessedness will come to the one who is careful about the friends that he chooses. Notice Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. There the scriptures say, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Notice the progression. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There's a progression there that takes place. First, you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Then you're standing in their path. And then finally, you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And that just emphasizes or brings out to me that there is a progression that goes with associating with people who are outside the church and who are trying to pull you away from God. Psalm 40 in verse 4, which was read for us a few moments ago, says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, if you will, turn your Bibles over to the book of Proverbs, if you're following along in your Bible. Recently, we finished a study on Proverbs on Wednesday night, and as we were going through that study, it struck me several times how many times God warned us about the company we choose to keep. And so the rest, except for the very last, will be from Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verses 10 to 15. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast your lot in among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Chapter 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Chapter 14 and verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. 16:29. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Chapter 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Chapter 23 and verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. 23 and verse 20. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. Chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. 28 and verse 7. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. And then finally in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, Paul wrote, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Please understand that those were just the passages that I chose out of Psalms and Proverbs and the one out of Corinthians there. And there are countless other scriptures that deal with this very topic. Truly, it's a plethora of passages, a wide and abundant variety of passages and times that God warns us that we are to be careful of whom we choose to spend our time. Now, let's go back and think about these passages. We're not going to reread them all again, but I've sort of summarized them a little bit. And point number two is, what types of people are mentioned in those passages that God is warning us about? Sort of summarized it. He warns us about the ungodly, the wicked, and the evil. That word is, those different words are all the same word in the Hebrew. It's one who does that which is wrong, or a guilty person. One who is immoral, or one who chooses to do that which is wrong. He warns us against associating with sinners. The word sinner means an offender, one who is accounted guilty, or someone who is full of sin. Let me just say, and this is just something that sometimes bothers me. I hope that as a Christian, you don't consider yourself to be a sinner. Because the way that word is used in the Bible, it's never applied to a follower of God. You are a Christian who sins sometimes. The word sinner implies that sin governs your life and that there is no concern in your mind about sin. If you're a faithful Christian, you are not a sinner, and you're hopefully not full of sin or sinful. You are a Christian who sometimes sins against God and then repents of that. No extra charge for that. Scornful. We're warned about the scornful. The scornful person is a scoffer or one who mocks. This type of person is the one who really has no respect for authority whether you're talking about their parents or government authority or authority in the Lord's church or authority in terms of God in general. They scoff and they scorn at that type of authority. We're warned about the proud. The proud. That word means insolent and showing a rude and arrogant lack of respect. Sort of is like scornful. Showing a lack of respect for God, a lack of respect for His church, a lack of respect for those who are in authority. We're also warned about those who turn aside to lies. Now, it's my belief that that phrase, those who turn aside to lies, is referring to idolatry. Because that very phrase is used by Paul in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, where in talking about the Gentiles, Paul says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Notice, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. So the Gentiles had exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and what did they do that showed that? They worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. And so those who turn aside to lies, in my mind, is talking about those who are idolatrous. Though certainly we understand that even if it's in the literal sense of those who lie and those who believe and follow and practice and tell a lie, we're not to have anything, be in fellowship with them either. We're warned about the foolish, not to be in fellowship with someone who is foolish. That word means a dullard, someone who is a simpleton, a stupid fellow. I know stupid isn't a politically correct word, but it was in the dictionary, so I can say it. A stupid fellow or an arrogant one. You know, biblically, in the scriptures, that word fool is most often used to describe a person who does not hear and heed the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And over again, we see that term fool being used to one who does not hear and heed the counsel of God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. We're warned about associating with violent people. That word violent means cruel, unjust, and immoral. We're warned about talebearers and flatterers. A talebearer, someone who likes to gossip, someone who likes to slander. You know, the word devil means slanderer. You and I can be devils if we slander people, if we're talebearers, if we're gossipers. An informer also is a meaning of the word talebearer. Flatterer is one who flatters. One who deceives or says things for personal gain that they really don't believe. We're warned about associating with the miser. This is a disagreeable person. This is an unpleasant person. Literally, that word just means a bad person or malignant. Finally, we're warned about winebibbers and gluttonous. Winebibber, obviously, are those who are drinkers of wine. And the gluttonous is referring to a vile or riotous eater. People who have no self-control. So those are the types of people that we're warned about. In regard to these people, how are we to interact with them? Well, these passages tell us several things. Again, sort of condensing and summarizing it. But we're told that we're not to allow them to entice us. They will try often to get us to do that which that we know is wrong. We cannot allow them to cause us to sin against our God. We're not to enter their path or walk in their ways. We're not to be companions with them. That word companion means to be a special friend. To associate closely with someone. Passages we read tell us we're not to associate with them. That word associate, again, it means to have fellowship with or to share. And we're reminded of what Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Passages that go along with this in the ones that we read talk about making no friendship with them, not to eat their bread, not to mix with them. All of those are different ways of saying you're not to be in fellowship with them. You're not to share in their wickedness. We're told we're not to envy them or desire to be with them. Now, I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. We're not suggesting that it's wrong to have friends who are not Christians. I'm not saying that. All of us have family and all of us have friends who are not Christians. And even when we look to the life of Jesus, what was one of the criticisms of Jesus? Look, he eats with sinners and tax collectors. We're not saying that we are to completely separate ourselves and just not have anything to do with people who are not Christians. We're not saying that. What we're saying is that the Bible is telling us that we're not to be partners with them. We're to show love and kindness to everybody, Christian and sinner alike. Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But in doing that, we're also to remember that we are to remain a separate people. There is such a thing as going too far. Jesus may have shared a meal with sinners and interacted with sinners and tax collectors, but I don't see Jesus going down to the local house of prostitution with those people who did those types of things. I don't see Jesus going to the riotous parties and different things of that nature. He associated with them, but he remained separate. And that's what we are to strive and aim for as well. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18, Paul there says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Notice he says, come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean. We may have friends. We may have family who are not members of the Lord's church. They're not Christians. In many ways, they're immoral, perhaps. We can still associate with them, but we cannot touch that which is unclean. They're influencing us and we're influencing them. We cannot allow them to influence us to touch that which is unclean, to sin against God. Now, I have an important question. It's this. Given the opportunity to spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ, or to spend time with your worldly friends, you can't do both. Whom do you choose to spend your time with? Those who are your brothers and sisters in Christ? Those who hopefully have the same goals and ambitions as you to get to heaven, to glorify God, to bring others with them? Or would you prefer to spend time with your friends in the world? The answer to that question will tell you much about your level of spiritual maturity. And I think it will tell us much about our devotion and dedication to making it to heaven. Let's ask the question, why is this such a big deal? Why is God so concerned about whom we choose to spend our time with? And the answer is because God wants us to be happy. Blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Happy are they. He wants us to be happy, and also He knows us. And He understands that this is an area where we need constant reminders, because we live in this world. And the majority of those in this world are not Christians. And we're going to interact with them. In the 106th Psalm, verses 34 and 35, the psalmist says, they did not destroy the temples, the peoples, talking about the children of Israel when they came into the land, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles, and notice, and learned their works. As I already said, when we associate with people, we are exerting an influence on them, and they are exerting an influence on us. Hopefully, as a Christian, you are influencing them in a godly way and trying to bring them to Christ, but a lot of times their influence is stronger than our influence. And rather than bringing them closer to Christ, they're pulling us farther away. He knows, God knows, that if we intermingle with the world too closely, we're going to learn their works. And that's why He was so adamant about the children of Israel driving all the people out of the land. He didn't want them to learn their ways. I think that's why Paul, he says in the 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. You see, we often think about the second half of the verse, evil company corrupts good habits, but he says, don't be deceived. You need to understand this. You don't believe the lie that you can associate closely with the world and not be affected by it, because you will be affected by it. And God wants us to be happy. He doesn't want us to put ourselves in a situation where we're being pulled in two different directions. Do we really want to put ourselves in that situation where we're wanting to fit in with friends on one side who care nothing about God and doing His will, but yet also trying to stay faithful to God and doing what He wants us to do? That's going to lead to unhappiness and discontent on our part. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be blessed, and He wants us to be happy. Like any good parent, God wants to protect us from those things which will harm us. Even though we may not understand His logic, which in this case I do understand His logic, but even if we don't understand the why, are we going to trust His judgment in this matter? Paul said, don't be deceived. Don't believe it. If someone tells you, you can go and you can spend all your time with people in the world and not be affected by them. Let me just say this too. I don't imagine, when I'm thinking about, for example, the Apostle Paul, you know, he associated with sinners in the sense of he interacted with them, he was kind to them. But I don't imagine a sinner who had no desire to repent wanted to spend very much time in Paul's company. You know, if they heard Paul and they wanted to repent and became Christians, then I'm sure that they loved being in Paul's presence. But somebody who was in Paul's presence living an ungodly, sinful, and wicked life, and they have no desire to change, I don't think they'd want to be around Paul all that much. Because Paul would have constantly been pointing out their sinfulness and that they needed to change. And so maybe part of the problem is that we're not vocal enough in letting people know that we are children of God and that their actions are wrong and they need to repent. Unfortunately, we often act like stubborn children, saying we know what's best, insisting that we can handle any temptation that's placed before us. I can remember back when I was a young man, when I was a teenager, my mom and dad telling me, we don't want you to be around that person. And I didn't understand that. And I got angry. But I understand it now. And it's the same way with us as Christians. God says, be aware of the fact that these people are going to try to pull you away from me. So don't associate with them too closely. Again, please understand, I'm not saying we can't have friends who are not Christians. Even Jesus associated with people who were not godly. But who do you spend most of your time with? Who do you prefer to be around? And who prefers to be around you? God says, if you intermingle too much with those of the world, they're going to pull you away. You're going to learn their ways, and you're not going to learn God's ways. Last point, and this is to parents. Our job as parents, we have to remember these things as parents. We are responsible for bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are to look after their spiritual well-being. Part of that is making sure that they are not associating too closely with people who are going to pull them away from Christ. Granted, they go to school and they're around people who are ungodly, and they probably have friends who are not godly in any way, shape, or form. We have to be very careful about whom we allow our children to spend their time with. I've seen it, and you've seen it. Young people who are influenced by their parents on one side, but then the world on the other side, all too often their friends went out and pulled them away from the church. We need to instill into our children also at a very young age that when they grow up, they need to marry a Christian. We've been talking about whom we choose to associate and align ourselves with. When one chooses a spouse, he is choosing to attach himself to a certain person for the rest of his life. We need to instill in our children the need to marry a faithful Christian child of God. I've shared these numbers with you one other time, but I wanted to share them again. A preacher by the name of Stieg Higginbotham kept records at a congregation where he preached for 21 years. And the records that he kept were in regard to mixed marriage. He wanted to see what happened when a Christian married a non-Christian, statistically speaking. During that 21 years, 76 young people married non-Christians. 57 of them ended up leaving the faith. That's 75%, 3 out of 4. Left the faith when they married someone who wasn't a member of the church. Now, 24 of those 76 who married non-Christians ended up divorced. That's 32%. 4 of those 76 were able to convert their spouse. That's 5% of the time. So think about this. And again, I'm not criticizing anybody who may already be in a mixed marriage. But if you have not yet married, think about this. There's a 5% chance that you'll convert that person. You know, if they don't convert while you're dating them, they're not going to do it once they got you. You know? I'm not saying that they should become a Christian just because they want to, you know, marry you. But if you're not able to influence them for Christ and bring them to Christ during the courting, you're probably not going to do it once they get married, once you get married. But I think a lot of people get married hoping that, you know, I'll be able to influence them and bring them to Christ. So 5% are able to convert their spouse, whereas 75% of them end up becoming unfaithful themselves. 13 youth married Christians. Isn't that sad? During 21 years, 76 married non-Christians and only 13 married Christians. Only 3 left the faith. That's 23%. That's still higher than I would like it, but it's a lot better than 75% leaving the faith. 3 out of the 13 who married Christians have divorced. Again, that's 23%. Compared to 32%. So the numbers don't lie. Is it possible that you could marry a non-Christian and convert them and bring them to Christ? Absolutely, it's possible. But please understand that it's a grave risk to your soul if you marry someone or choose to marry someone who is not a member of the Lord's church. All of this leads back to what we're talking about. God wants us to be happy. And the way to lasting happiness is to live in a godly and faithful relationship with Him. Associating too closely with the sinful, worldly people that we come into contact is only going to bring trouble and heartache in our lives. Back to that idea, Jesus associated with everyone, but He certainly was not one of their drinking buddies. He certainly did not allow them to influence Him to do wrong. We need to show love to all and be kind to all, but we need to remain separate. We need the attitude of David. He said in Psalm 84 and verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Is that how we see it? A day in the courts of God is better than a thousand spent elsewhere. God wants you to be happy. Most of all, though, He wants you to be holy and in a right relationship with Him. If you associate too closely with those outside the church, they will, in all likelihood, pull you away. You need to strive to be an influence on them and a light in the world. But don't associate too closely and partake of their evil deeds. Friend, if you're here this morning having not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, we want to offer you the opportunity now to do that. If you're of accountable age and you understand right from wrong, then you need to realize that sins you've committed in your life separate you from God. And they'll cause you to be lost unless they are washed away by the blood of Jesus. How do you have your sins washed away? You have faith in Christ? Then act on that faith and repent of your sins. Confess your faith as He commanded and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38. If you've not yet done those things, understand your sins have not been washed away. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be happy and He'll live a fulfilled and happy life, but you can only do that through Him. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do so. Perhaps you're already a child of God, but you've not been living as you know you ought to be living. Maybe you've allowed yourself to be influenced too much by those outside the church, and you need to repent of that. We'll be glad to help you in any way we can. Please come as we stand and sing.